Now we're going to be looking at, in all the services today, we're going to be looking at the flow of the Spirit. The flow of the Spirit. But we're going to make some particular emphasis because, you see, Christians, believers, need to be taught about the things of the Spirit. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12:1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, that's what the King James says, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Which means that, now when he says spiritual gifts there, it means things of the Spirit. He says, I will not have you ignorant. It therefore means that it's the mandate, the duty of the church, the churches, the pastors, the leaders, to ensure that believers are not ignorant of the moving of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You need to realize that. You need to know about the things of the Spirit. So you don't look like an illiterate. When you see them, you recognize them. You realize them. As a younger Christian, I remember that the first time I saw believers laugh. Now, because I was from a very conservative background, when I saw believers laugh, and they laughed out, it was obvious that there was something supernatural about it. In my head, when I say my head, I mean my thinking, I kind of felt, this is crazy, what's this about? But deep down, because I'm born of God, I knew this is of God. I couldn't explain it. I just, you know, but in my head, then, rather than just be patient then and, you know, find out what was going on, I just said, what's all this? Is this how church should be, you know? And that means I was ignorant. In the times like that, as believers, you know, we could be ignorant, and believers should not be ignorant. Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. The flow of the Holy Ghost. So look at the flow of the Holy Ghost. We're having camp meeting. Amen? Oh, you hear that? So we're having camp meeting. So we're preparing our hearts for camp meeting. We've been having camp meeting. This is the 20th year. Praise the Lord. And it's quite an experience for us to come together as believers, all our churches will be there, and to learn the Word of God, and also allow the moving of the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes you find some parts of the body of Christ, they just love to study the Scriptures. Doesn't matter what they study really, but they love to study the Scriptures, and they give very little room, or nothing at all, for the moving of the Holy Ghost. There's a moving of the Holy Ghost. And there are others who, unfortunately so, they give room to the moving of the Holy Ghost, and then they give almost no room, if at all they do, to the teaching of the Word. So oftentimes it's like an Herculean task to have both in the same place. Hallelujah. And that's what we've endeavored to do, to teach the Word strongly and allow the moving of the Spirit. Allow that. Allow believers to be taught along the lanes of the moving of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And that's something Brother Hagin, once said, Kenneth Hagin, used to say, he said this, that God wants, what's God's plan in these last days? He said his plan is to have strong local churches, all right, who are taught the Word of God and how to flow with the Holy Ghost. I strongly believe that. It's God's Word. Who are taught the Word of God strongly, all right, and also how to flow with the Holy Ghost. How to flow with the Holy Ghost. You know, flowing with the Holy Ghost sometimes requires you being familiar. You being familiar with the Spirit. Now, I'll give you this, a bit of insider information. You know, some of being familiar. Now, usually when I finish teaching, you know, I'm the pastors, zonal pastors now. Or should I call you guys outgoing zonal pastors? The zonal pastors now, over time, when I want them to take over the service, and for example, I want them to take the announcements after I teach, they know exactly what I do. If they're leading prayer and I come up and I want to, they know when to, you know, drop the microphone and I come up. These are insider information. So of late, we now got some other leaders just having other people do it to do exactly what they were doing. It took them a while. I think it's still taking them a while to know how we exchange that responsibility. So sometimes you find, in fact, so one person, as soon as the person saw me, just ran away. The insider information, just ran away. But usually they know the signal I give. I won't say anything, but they know when, I know you'll be watching us the next time. They know when to stop the prayer meeting and then I'll preach and I'll come up. Now that's familiarity, right, with time. But the other people just, as a child learning, you know, maybe the first time, I say, they go, as the pastor come inside, and as soon as I pick my Bible, one of them will not even say, let's give God, just went away. So I said, no. Did you observe that when they do that, there's a way that they close the service, they close that part of the service. Now I said that to say that sometimes you just need to be familiar to know the moving of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes you have to know what is going on. You have to know, you know, how it's done. You know, how does it, what am I looking out for? So sometimes you're just familiar, you know, exactly, what is going on. And that comes by teaching and practice. By what? And what else? I take it again. By what? Teaching. That means you are told, then you also observe. Teaching and practice. So you've got to know, you know, what to do at that point. For example, you know, sometimes if I'm not going to be in the service, and I have to preach somewhere, do something. And I have those pastors also. Why am I using them as examples this morning? And they have to take the services. They know sometimes I don't inform them until the evening of the day before. So, I'm very sure, I've not asked them this before, but I know they have this experience. I just tell them, guys, you know I won't be around. They already know I'm not anyway. On Sunday, they say, yes, sir. So I'll just be quiet. So I think everybody's already getting their teaching notes ready. Which part is he going to ask us? So I just say, 8 p.m. and say, okay, you, tomorrow morning, let me have your teaching note before 11 o'clock. You shook your head, right? But that's because we've been working together for years. Is that clear? That's the same thing with flowing with the Spirit. You don't need to be told when the, you don't need to be given, ba, brethren, the move of the Spirit now is prayer. No, you know how to get the signals. Is that clear? You know. Well, you have some believers, you'll be there. Ah, I thought we were just praying now. Why are we singing again? So, they're just like the person that ran up the stage, okay? So, you need to be taught. Also, you need to observe. So the things of the Spirit are just like that. You know, what I said now, just repeating myself. So you need to know. There's a knowing. So there's a knowing. There's a knowing to the things of the Spirit. There's a knowing to the things of the Spirit. Fundamental things is, there's a difference between being in the service and watching the service. Now there was something that happened. We went for a meeting a while back. So myself and a friend, we were to put in the meeting together. And I wasn't preaching. I just went there to sit and be blessed. So he came in late because his flight was delayed and all that. So, and it was very painful. So when the meeting was over, I sent him a text and we were talking and I said, what a meeting tonight. No, in the morning, sorry. In the morning. And so he said, yeah, I heard about it. So later on, the video came out. So he was trying to describe what he saw. And I told him, I said, look, if you were not in that service and you just watched the video, you didn't know what happened. And I said to him, I said, I've been a Christian a few days. There have been a few meetings in my life that I was this impacted in my life. And when I say that, I don't use words ordinarily. Interestingly, the person that minister, I'm going to talk about it in the second and third service, was someone I'd never, not that I had a despite for the ministry, was a woman, interestingly. I'd never despised the ministry, but I never wasn't going used to her teaching or preaching. But what a move of the Spirit. And as soon as she began to teach and minister, I knew something was going on. There's a way you know. You are born of God. Hallelujah. There's a way you know. See, that same way you are familiar with what your wife wants to do, what your husband wants to do, what your friend, your parents, your colleague at work. There's a way you are familiar. I say, oh, this is what he wants. Oh, I'm sure, I know there's some guys like that. When you are going somewhere together and you see their call, you know, they are going to be late. You say, so when are you going to come? You already know it, right? Because you're familiar. It's the same thing with the move of the Spirit. That's why you mustn't leave room in your life as a Christian to have a gap such that it's been a while you were in a Holy Ghost meeting. It's been a while you were in a believer's meeting. You can get very rusty. Just like preaching. If you leave preaching out, some people say, well, they want to take some break up preaching. They just want to deal with some things in their lives. When you come back, have you ever seen some of these, maybe household utensils that you leave behind for years and you pick them up and you say, what is this? And that's how you are going to look like. Rusty. You're rusty. So Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12. I would not have you ignorant. So you must be such that you give yourself consistently to the moving of the Spirit. In services, also in your life. Don't let a month pass, and then you have nothing. You've not ministered in the Spirit to anybody. A whole month. How did you do it? A whole month. In the place of prayer. You had no encounter with the Holy Ghost, no revelation, a whole month, a whole year. Hey, that's the wilderness experience. A whole year, a whole week, no song. No song. I'm not saying that you're not playing a song in your car. I mean a song. Glory to God. How many of you got songs this morning? That shouldn't happen in church alone. A whole week. All you are just singing is, I don't know, do care. Just, come on, you were born again. I'm not saying you shouldn't sing entertainment songs. I sing entertainment songs too. You know, I do. A lot. A lot of people go to gym. I won't say what you sing. But that's the point. So those are just things that I'm not against, I'm saying that as a believer, when last you just have this song playing in your spirit, from your spirit, and you just were singing it out, when last did you just laugh? Praise the Lord. And I'm talking about somebody made a joke and say, like Chelsea has been sold to Enugu. Why was that the joke that came up? What? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you just had joy. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. When last did you laugh? I'm talking to you. You. Yeah. What about doing it now? Oh, go ahead. That's too short. Amen. Go away. Hey, get up. Just run. Go away. You want to do the same thing? Go ahead. Go away. Amen. Just hold on a bit. You know, these are not things that will happen once a year. No. We are believers. Joy is the atmosphere of our spirit. Amen. It's my atmosphere. Say, joy is my atmosphere. Now, don't forget, I'm going to say this, you know, this is not just for church. Like I told you last week, you don't finish the Holy Ghost meeting, you rejoice, and you get to the car and you're frowning. You take it home. Hallelujah. So I'm taking it home. There's one old Yoruba song. Ibukun ti morigba mamudele. You know, which means that whatever you got in church, you take it home. Glory to God. I'm sure when you get to your house today, you're going to have something to say to them. Amen. People are going to receive miracles in your home from you today. Glory to God. And this week, at work. Amen. It, glory to God. So it's not for the service. It's the whole week. Glory to God. You know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. You know what happened now? I pointed at him and I said, when last did you laugh? And some of you picked it up. Most of you did. That's how to flow with the Spirit. Is that clear? It usually starts with one person, then it gets on everybody. One person gets... Sometimes the way to flow with the Holy Ghost is just watch what other believers are doing. You know the way you enter a prayer meeting? If you're a believer and people are praying, you say, hey, they are praying. When they finish? I'm sure you just say, come on, I'm joining in. Is that it? If you enter a place and people are raising their hands and they are worshiping God, you say, they didn't tell me now. They didn't tell me when they are true. I'll tell them I'm here, so they'll tell us what we are now going to do together. You simply what? You join. So when you see a believer in a meeting and he's rejoicing, what do? You rejoice. A believer is praying in the Spirit. We pray together. Sometimes you just enter and you see people bowing on their knees to worship God. They are believers. You don't say, is the song, we bow down on our knees. You know, you simply do the same. Because as believers, we also follow good examples. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, when an unbeliever, an unlearned Christian, when he comes into our midst, and then he says, and Paul says, and we all prophesy, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 24 and 25, and we all prophesy, and the secrets of his heart is made manifest, he said he will fall down and worship God. Now, why would he do that? That means he sees us doing it. He will fall down and worship God and report that God of a truth is in you. 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25. So, we must know these things. Hallelujah. This whole week, next Sunday in your multiple services, the week after, camp meeting and after, we're going to have believers meetings. Hallelujah. And I just want to introduce you to them. I know you already know them. To remind you, stir up, introduce you to them. To flow with the Spirit. But do not forget what I said. It's not just for the services. I know today you are going to pick up the phone. And in the Holy Ghost you are going to help someone out. I know today, this afternoon, this evening, you're going to do it. Get up. You're going to do it. This evening. Not one person. Not two. Not three. This week. Today. And as you do it, you have visions in the Spirit. Well, particularly, a lady that told you about maybe a growth or sickness. You knew it for a while, but you're just, you know, you just know about the hospital visits and all, you know what I'm talking about? Hospital visits. And you know, there's a boldness that will come on you this week. And you will speak to the sickness and you say, go, and it will go. Amen. You have your seat this week. Glory to God. So that's the way it is. That's the way it is. You will pick up your phone. See. You know, you don't have to be perfect for God to use you. Let me tell you why. There's nobody that's ever been perfect for God to use him. In fact, some of them, after God starts using them, their imperfection now shows. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say, I'm an able minister of the Spirit. Say, I'm qualified by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's what qualifies you. If it's left for perfection, I won't be up here on the pulpit preaching. No. Amen. What do we need the most? We need to be yielded to the Spirit of God. Just be yielded to the Spirit of God. What do you mean by yielded? Now, remember what I just said. You know, I pointed to someone and other people got in on it. That means it's just yielded. But there'll be somebody who will just say, why should I be doing that? Me that I know the kind of sins I've committed. It's not yielded. Or can say, that's my age. It's not yielded. Or my mood today is not just fine. It's not yielded. Yielded would mean you lay aside everything. Hallelujah. And get into the flow. See, I lay aside every distraction. I get in the flow. Amen. So you need to know all those things. How to flow with the Spirit. I remember one time I was trying to cross from my university then to another one. It was actually if I was going to cross to. So I was disappointed because they didn't give me what I wanted. So naturally, I should be going in the bus and, you know, just feeling bad. But somehow, I didn't. I just decided to pray in tongues, and I prayed in tongues and spoke in tongues, and I just rejoiced and thanked the Lord, didn't feel anyhow. So I got on the bus, I think I sat at the door, the front seat, sorry, and then an elderly woman, sat in the middle. And just because I decided to put away what had just happened, and I was just flowing with the Spirit of God, and I just ministered to her, ministered to her family, and she was looking at me like, did I know anything before that? No, I didn't. Just now by the Holy Ghost. So we got to the bus park again. I think I met two other people. Just putting aside what had happened. Remember when my brother passed on? And the church I was supposed to preach for in the Janiki. And they told me, they said, you know, we just came to, you know, they called me. And said, you know, we won't be able to come because of what happened. I said, no. I said, we're going to run the devil mad. In spite of what has happened, we're going to run the devil mad. I said, I'm coming. And I got there, people were born again, people were healed. Amen. Needs were met. Now, did that mean that I didn't feel bad? I still do. I still miss my brother. But the truth is, I put it aside. Amen. To be a blessing. To flow with the Spirit. If you are going to wait for perfect situations, you will never flow with the Holy Ghost. You will have to flow with the Holy Ghost in spite and despite. Hallelujah. 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 Say, I flow now. Amen. 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 So you are open to the move of the Holy Ghost. Go open. Things will have gone bad at the office, you know, at your job. You just say, well, I'll still flow with the Spirit. I'll still flow with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes, it's in that flow that you will get what fixes the problem. See, it's not everything that will... many things won't answer to logic. I'll say that again. Many things won't answer to logic. Many things won't answer to logic. A good number of things will happen because you yielded to the Spirit. You yielded to... You just call someone you shouldn't have called. Or you never thought of calling. You just do something you weren't planning to do. You know, just get used to flowing with the Spirit. Don't be used to logical things, 1 plus 1, 2, 2 plus 2, 4. There are some times there will be no 1 plus 1 and you still see 2. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? There will be times you have one and all you could add to it is zero and you will still have 20. Amen. It is called a miracle. Glory to God. So don't give it all logical. You know, there was something, and it's good to have good examples. Something I learned from my dad. And it was an unconscious thing that I learned from him. Every time he just talks, and when he doesn't have anything to say, he just say, he says in Yoruba, they say, God will do a miracle. And you're already feeling like, is that what I'm saying? I'm telling you something, he just has a way of just, that's how he just resorts to. You know, and I just unconsciously learned that too. You know, because a miracle will mean that when I get to my wit's end, when every human effort, you can't handle this, God's power can. Whatever is impossible with men is possible with God. Hallelujah. 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 It's possible with God. It's possible with God. It's possible with God. Glory to God. It's possible with God. You know, the last time we had healing school, laid hands on quite some people. So there was a particular case I knew of, and I just laid hands on those people. I won't tell you what it was. And within a few weeks, I think by this last evening, yesterday, 5 people have told me. I'm talking about situations that the doctor said, this one, either we wait or we forget about it. You know, 5. The last one was yesterday evening. Had received a miracle on that issue. It was the same thing. In fact, the funny thing was, it was really the same thing. Hallelujah. It was the same thing. One of them, interestingly, on the same issue, came for the last healing school last year, and it was the same thing. I strongly believe this morning that there's an area. There's a moving of the Spirit this morning, and it's on very difficult situations, particularly with people, that there will just be a pathway to it. Hallelujah. I'm saying with people, difficult people, hardened people, there's a pathway. Amen. There's a pathway. There's a way around it, and you have found it. 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 Amen. We also receive miracles for our loved ones. For our loved ones. Particularly those who have been ill for a while. We just have a fix in it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, I won't look at you straight, but that orderly thing about your menstrual cycle is solved. Sorted. Yeah, it's sorted. Yeah. And there's been a scare about what it is and what it's not. Well, it's sorted and you're healed. So what about the thyroid gland? I thought pastor would call it, I just did. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just did. It's sorted. Healed. I am completely whole. You know, I've never gotten to the text I wanted to read. Amen. I might not read at all. That's the Holy Ghost meeting. You know, you have a text you want to read. If I have my sermon in my head, I'm still struggling to go there and go and preach it. But every time I go there, there's something that comes up on my heart. Amen. That's the moving of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, in the service, I've gotten the music team to have 3 songs they wanted to sing. Blessed has done one of them. But that's not just how the Holy Ghost moved this morning. He had us do it differently. We'll still have them sing those songs, but it's just differently. And so what I'll tell you is that learn to be open to the moving of the Spirit. I'm not talking about the church alone. I'm talking about generally to the moving of the Spirit. And this week you'll have so much to thank God for as you yield to the Spirit, Yeah, brother, you. You. Beside the sister, you. You stand. You know, something about the hand of God upon your life. The hand of God is upon your life. And when you leave this service, before the evening, find people you are going to preach the gospel to. You know you are bold. Say, I'm bold. You've always thought you were shy, right? Huh? Answer now. Can't even answer. Say, I'm bold. So this evening, you preach the gospel. And not just preach the gospel, you minister to people. What do I mean by that? Be bold to say, what's the problem you want me to pray for you about? Say that. Now, I think in your mind, you think, well, I have problems, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. See, I've been very ill before and I laid hands on many sick people and they got healed. Does it matter? It doesn't matter. You know, Abraham's eyes were closed, but he saw visions. And also Jacob. You know, the dry bones, the dead bones of Elijah raised the dead. Does it matter? Amen? Because you have the Holy Ghost. So don't think words about me. Just go ahead and minister. Just ask them, what do you want me to pray for? And I tell you, as a sign of God's hand upon you, they're going to get quick results. Just lift your hands and thank God. Lift your hands and thank God. Sit down. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Let me try and just share my text. I'll try. 1 Timothy 3. I think I have more on the second. 1 Timothy 3. Did I mention the text? I never did. Okay, let's see whether we can try. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, that you will know how you ought to behave yourself in the church, the house of the living God. Which means there is a way. Now, you know, he didn't say you know how to behave yourself. No, he said in the church. So there's church culture. There's a culture. And the reason why we do that is because of where we are. Now, if you're a lawyer, you know very well that if you go to the law court, they'll tell you to switch off your phone. Or there's some places you go to, they switch off your phone because of where you are. For whatever reasons, maybe the phones become a problem, even in the service here. Well, it doesn't mean that when you go out, you cannot switch, have your phones on, you know, and answer your calls as you want. But the point is where you are. Which means there's such a thing as having a proper behavior in the church when we come together. Now, one of those things that I want to highlight, precisely more in the second service now, will be the use of your mouth, your eyes, and your ears when you are in the church. When you are in the church, there is a way you ought to behave. Now, Paul had written to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11. Something was going on. The rich, you know, who had food to eat, they will come to the service doing what they call the Lord's Supper, which is like a Lord's, like what you call love feast. And they will show up to those who don't have. Just like you show off your car, show off your wares, you know, and they come out and show, you know, that they have. So those who were poor, they have not. They'll go home hungry. And that's why he inserted the issue of the Passover in that conversation. But the real issue was what he now said towards the end. 1 Corinthians 11. Permit me to just go there quickly. 1 Corinthians 11. Now, he now says to them, in verse 21, in eating, every one of you takes before his own supper, and one is hungry, another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Despising the church of God. That is, don't you have houses? Now, when you come to church, or when you come among believers, you can't afford to eat alone. Now, if you want to eat alone, do it in your house. But the moment you come here, you have to share. Now, in verse 34, it says, 33, sorry. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home. That your coming together is not unto condemnation. So the point is, don't you have houses where you can do them? When we come to the church, we have a common culture of sharing, of mutual identity. That's the point. So which means there are things we do not do. There are things we're expected to do in the church. And I'll take a cue from that. It means to share, or let's say it like this, to be a blessing. So, you are not in church to show that you are blessed. You are in church to show that you are a blessing. Notice that it was after that that I now got to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. I now said, if you just speak with tongues and you don't interpret, how is the other person edified? If you speak with tongues and you don't give the meaning, how is the other believer? How does he receive from it? So the real issue he's dealing with there is you are not just blessed. You have to be what? A blessing. So there is a behavior that you should have. So let me tell you what I'll focus on in this service. Learn to always be a blessing. Always be a blessing. Always be a blessing in the service. Say, I'm a blessing. I'm not saying Manafa now. Say, I'm a blessing in this service. In this service. You know, if you're a blessing in this service, you yield to the Holy Ghost. Right? Am I correct? You yield to the Holy Ghost. If you're a blessing in this service, would you interpret tongues? Huh? Right? Amen? Would you sing a song to edify the other believer? If you're a blessing in this service, would you pray for someone else? Exactly. That you may know how you ought to behave. How you ought to behave. How you ought to behave. In the church of God. The house of God. In the church. The household of God. The house of God. The pillar and ground of truth. There is a way we behave. We love to bless others. So that means that if I come to the service and I'm thinking about my problems, I won't bless people. If I'm thinking about myself, I won't bless people. If I'm thinking about whether I will say it right or wrong, I won't bless anybody. If I'm thinking about what happened this morning in my family, I won't bless anybody. If I'm thinking about, tomorrow, I'm going to have to resume at work and so is going to happen. There's this job they gave us. I'm not yet done. If I'm thinking about that, I won't bless anybody. But I start being a blessing when I think about others. I think about others. Like that song, as we gather and your spirit walks within us, as we gather and we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, then you now say, you will be blessed because I came. Hallelujah. You will be blessed because I came. So, to bless others, you think less of yourself. You think less of yourself. Those who come to church and all they are thinking is, God, meet me at my point of need today. There's nothing wrong in, your needs being met, no doubt. Meet me at, that's all they'll be thinking about. If there's a move of the Holy Ghost in the gifts of the Spirit, they will not get into it. You know why? Because all they want is their own needs met. But you know something? Imagine, look up now. If all of us came here to bless others, we'll all be blessed. If all of us came in here and our heart is to bless others, we will have what we desire in the service. If we came here and our hearts is to bless others. And I'm saying, Lord, I just give myself to the moving of your Spirit in this service. That in this service, I'll have visions and revelations. In this service, I'll have tongues and interpretation. In this service, I'll have a word for someone. In this service, I'll have a song for someone. And you are putting aside your own challenges. And he also has the same. He has the same. Eventually, my own needs are met. Who's following what I'm saying here? So in flowing with the Spirit, you lay aside your own challenges. That's why some people feel that pastors don't have problems. If I share my own, you just run out of the service. Okay? They think that pastors don't have challenges. No. Pastors or leaders are just those who laid those things aside and chose to be a blessing. That's all. So if we all laid that aside, I'm not thinking about, this material need I have. I'm not thinking about, there was someone, he had this funny disease. It wasn't incurable, but it was persistent. So he said I should pray for him. I was just not led to pray for him. I said, you know what? I sense you should do. This week, just hold a healing service. and just be praying for the sick. He first felt, maybe I didn't hear what he said. He said, no, sir, I didn't say somebody was sick. I'm the one. I said, I know I heard you. I said, you will now go and start laying hands on the sick. You see, sometimes that gives you more boldness even to receive. That's what go ahead. So he began to, in fact, there was one instance, his wife had to take it. His wife was thinking he was mad. That I'm still treating you. You want to go? So when he now mentioned my name, and that one could not say, if it's Pastor Chris. So that one, like in her heart, like, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's in Lagos here and he's commanding somebody that I'm dragging out of the room. You know, by the third or fourth day, he was whole and sound. And he had healed by the power of God many sick. You know why that happened? He laid aside his own issues. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many wants you to do that this morning? This morning, let me see your hand. Amen. So what's on your mind now is the church. Right? Is that it? Is that it? Is that it? What's on your mind now is to flow with the Spirit of God. What's on your mind now is not to have hands laid on you. It's to have you minister to others. That thou mayest know how you ought to behave in the house of God. And how is that? We learn to minister to others. That's how we should behave. We want to bless others. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you know, that can be your culture throughout the week. Throughout the week. Throughout the week. Throughout the week. It's not about me, it's about the move of the Spirit of God. It's not about me, it's about what God will do through me to others. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So if you think, well, I'm feeling this pain on my body, well, I will sense it's gone. And along the lanes, think less of the pain. Think less of the difficulty. Just focus on being a blessing. Focus on yielding to the Holy Ghost. Focus on blessing somebody else. Hallelujah. This morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. As we gather and your Spirit walks within us. As we gather and we glorify your name. Knowing well that our hearts begin to worship. You know, you will be blessed because I came. As we gather, sit down. Spirit walks within us.